Of Animal World. We are here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. And if you do that, you'll get to see that little toddler and the little golden doodle puppy at the baby gate. Monkey see, monkey do, and bouncing and crazy if you want a great laugh. It's a really, really fun little video. And golly, it is the first Sunday of June. That means Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And once again, they've got their fingers in so many pies and helped so many animals everywhere around the world. And now they're a strong feature here and will be with us for the hour. So, from animals24-7.org, Henry is back. Oh, I guess he's got humans with him too, but I'm just totally focused on Henry. Merritt and Beth Clifton are here, who are the chief cook and bottle washers and creator and people responsible for animals24-7.org. And now they have a sidekick. Well, I'm not sure it's a sidekick. He's kind of like running the show, except understand he has been a rooster in the doghouse. So we'll find out. Anyway, good morning, Merritt, and good morning, Beth.
Morning. Martha.
Hi, Henry. and Henry is in Beth's arms, kind of more on top of her than in her arms, and he's very fascinated. He's just listening and paying attention. I had to lecture him a little bit because Merritt and Beth, Henry ended up in the doghouse for a while. What's going on with that guy?
Well, we've started to let him in the house because the weather gets kind of nasty, and apparently he won't go into his house.
Oh, he doesn't, his outside house.
Yeah.
He won't get out of the rain.
No, he'll just stare at the kitchen window to see if I'm going to come to it. And so he's very attached to me, and now to Merritt too. Merritt. We have this, he likes games apparently, but Merritt has been sort of coaxing him back in. When Merritt mows the lawn, we let Henry out for a walk. Yeah.
And yeah, you can talk anytime, Henry. It's okay.
Merritt's job is sort of to help me herd him back in because he likes being out, but we can't keep him safe that way. So yesterday, he refused to go through the gate until Merritt came out and walked him through it.
Oh, so he's...
Well, the toddler won't go to bed until you play chase with him?
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, it's like, no, I want Dad to do it.
I know him so well now because I've spent so much time with him. And I know what his sounds are. I know what he's thinking most of the time, not all the time. And so that's what it was. He wanted his dad to walk him into his... area.
All right, so that's understandable. But I think it was sometime before that you said you'd started letting him into the house and kind of into the kitchen. And didn't we had a little issue? Didn't he?
Yeah, it was actually the second or third time, but he nailed my hand and put a big hole in it.
About the size of half a dog.
Well, because you had let him in the kitchen and then you were trying to shoo him out?
Well, not shoo him, pick him up to put him out.
Oh, and he was objecting to that because he probably didn't want to go back outside.
Very much so. And basically what he did was he skinned me and I found a piece of my skin on the floor after.
No. Henry, no, I told you, Aunt Martha says you have to be gentle with your mom if you want to come into the house.
He's getting it. He's letting me pet him and pick him up. I think there was just this transition. I don't know what his life was like before us. It was probably very different.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking. You didn't raise Henry. And a lot of people that live with roosters and have them as pets, they raise them from babies. So they've, you know, been through all of this and learned, but maybe Henry just had to have an experience and get into the doghouse and realize he doesn't really want to be there.
Well, now Henry has sort of a new role. He's not just a rooster.
Oh.
And, you know, I guess some people won't like this, but he's our pet. He's our family member.
Yeah.
So he had to learn some new rules and learn how to behave. And he's getting it. He's very smart.
Well, and I'm a real advocate, and I was amazed. I mean, it's years and years now that I've known, but the first time when someone made a pet out of a chicken or a rooster, I was like amazed. But, you know, they are really intelligent little creatures, and they're capable of all kinds of stuff. And, you know, they have personalities and communicate and understand. And I mean, there have even been chickens on America's Got Talent. You know, there was a whole band of chickens, and this little girlhood taught them to do agility in a course and then get up on their musical instruments and play there a little bit. Anyway, they're really incredible. But I know that these chickens that roosters or chickens that become household companions or pets, I mean, they make harnesses and leashes for them. They make little chicken diapers now to wear in the house. And
it's turning, I don't know if it will stay like this, but it's turning into a big industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I decided we're looking for a friend for him, a female hen. So we'll see what happens. So anyway,
there was a really cute video I have to look for. I think it was on Facebook somewhere, probably, of an outdoor rooster like Henry, who actually was a pet and lived indoors. But he had a girlfriend too, but she wasn't a house chicken, and so they put her into a outdoor chicken pen, you know, house, little chicken condo. They closed her up at night, and it was a wonderful little video about the ritual when the human mom and the rooster would go out in the morning to let the lady hen out. And how the rooster would get so excited to let her out and all that stuff. But yeah, he didn't like her enough to stay outside with her. He wanted to stay inside. But it was a big deal when they let her out every morning. So
this will be a trial, because I sort of think maybe a companion would be good, but it could be a disaster too. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you'll have to keep us posted. And of course, I could talk about Henry all day, but I'm going back to before we get serious about animals 24-7.org, I wanted to pull up because I posted, I know it's not on this website, it's on my personal page. I told you guys that I found this beautiful. I post lots of flowers on my personal page because I love flowers and color and all of that. But my favorite tree this time of year is a golden chain. And I found this beautiful photograph of this golden chain tunnel of trees. And then I realized it says it's Bayview Garden on Whidbey Island. And my gosh, these trees look spectacular. So you guys are on Whidbey Island. Have you ever been to Bayview Gardens?
We've been by there, but it's about 20 miles south of us and not really in our path of commerce, which would be
Ah.
mostly north to Oak Harbor.
So you haven't seen this beautiful tunnel of golden chain
No.
trees.
We didn't know it was there till you sent us the photo.
But isn't that an incredible photograph?
Yeah.
All right. And I understand, Beth, you like those golden chains too. So anyway, you guys, I think we may have Animal World hookup on Whidbey Island next year, because it's too late to go over for me to see the golden chains this year, but boy, they're so close. I think I have to come over, and I might have to come meet Henry, and maybe we'll
Yeah.
have a get together. Anyway, all right,
Absolutely.
so we better get going here. I know we've got extra time this month, but Henry, you feel free to talk anytime you'd like to, buddy. You can have the microphone. You just let us know if you have anything to say. I think he's saying he's on his
Well.
best behavior because he's been in the doghouse, you know. All right. So, we had a plan, of course, of some things we were going to talk about, and then Eileen, we just talked to last hour from Help Animals India, and she kind of threw a little wrench into the works, I think, that we need to clean up, because she was telling us about the what'd she say, Puget Sound Bird Fest, that I didn't know about, but it's apparently an annual affair that's happening today in downtown Edmonds. They have all kinds of events and stuff about birds and all that sort of thing. But apparently there was a wildlife person there, and I think she was indicating that it was probably somebody from wildlife department of some kind official. And the subject of the mountain goats came out, which I know we talked about it. I can't remember if it was last month or the month before, but the article that you guys did about it related to the zebras that were lost and, escaped and were trying to find the other zebra. And your headline was how one zebra won more concern than vanishing mountain goats. So
The
we had that talk
transportation.
about that there, we years ago, it was all this talk about the mountain goats and the Olympic Peninsula and all of that, and they didn't belong there and they needed to be moved to the right place. And we thought we moved them and everything was good. But then you reported to us that that's not been the case, that they've just disappeared and all of that. And that, as I remember, it's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It is a pretty big deal. And of course, the Department of Fish and Game will say it's not a big deal because
Well,
they're
that's what I want to
not.
clarify, because Eileen said, well, the wildlife guy said that it's just being overhyped by the minute. It's not a big deal. So will you please, and you guys research everything inside out, upside down and backwards, and then you tell the truth about what's going on. You don't have an agenda anyway, but so what, give us the brief lowdown again on the mountain goats.
Well, the gist of it is they eliminated mountain goats from Olympic National Park. They shot a lot of them. They relocated about 300 to the Cascades, where the mountain goat population had been hunted down to something like a 90% drop over 50 years. And then the ones they translocated didn't survive. Only a few of them could be found. So the wildlife department may not think that's a big deal, but those are our goats.
Yeah.
Taxpayers, we're paying for them. We expect to be able to go into the hills and see mountain goats, and they're not there. It's a
Huh.
case of wildlife mismanagement, which is not really surprising in one sense because wildlife management is descended from game keeping, which was the business of keeping a huntable supply of animals for the nobility and protecting species and all the rest of that was an add-on later. So the whole mentality of wildlife management is trying to propagate huntable wildlife as if they're farm-reared animals for
Huh.
slaughter. And everything else is kind of an add-on pretext.
That really makes sense as to, where it all started. And so it wasn't done and hasn't been done traditionally for the highest good of the animals and the ecosystem and all that sort of stuff. it's been for the benefit of humans and hunters and all that sort of thing. So, and I think it is kind of been tradition that, you know, sometimes the powers that be play down what's really going on because they don't want to be responsible for it or have to deal with it, or they don't know what to do. But do we know what happened to all these goats and why they're all gone?
Well, predation would be one reason. Getting hit by cars would be another. Another would be simply they didn't survive very well in habitat that they did not know. They knew their habitat in the Olympics. They knew where to find food, where to get away from predators, where the safest trails were to climb the rocks, all the things that
goats do.
Where the salt was. And then you move into the Cascades. It's sort of like they take and they plop you down in the middle of Chicago. You know, you can read the signs, you can read a map, it'll help you, but goats don't have those things. They've got to find it for themselves.
Well, isn't that funny? Because it's kind of like, because they're saying, well, they really belong over there. That's where they should be. That's their natural. Okay. Well, it's kind of like me. You didn't know this, but I was born in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
But my parents moved out here, you know, when I was very young. And so, you know, it makes total sense. If I was just dropped in Chicago, I wouldn't have a clue. Even though I was born there, and so I'm a native Chicagoan, I wouldn't know how to survive there and what to do. It's the same thing with the goats. You pluck them over there and, you know, without, I don't know.
I think you're a very good metaphor there for what happened.
You did. How about that? We're definitely in tune. All right. Let's see. I'm looking at the clock, though, and it's the last hour of the show, so I need to keep us on time. Let's take care of our advertisers for the first time. And then when we continue, just for any of you that are listening, if you don't know what animals24-7.org is, Merritt will tell us what this organization is all about and all of that. And then we will move on to some of the subjects we want to talk about and see where it all leads us. Anyway, good stuff. Next up, coming up, bees and wasps and hornets. And who knew that Merritt's an expert on collecting these things or dealing with them? Had no idea. These people know more about animals everywhere than anyway. I just learn more all the time. So stay right where you are. We're going to buzz around here pretty soon, and Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Henry.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's ANANDA Washington.org.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan, inviting you to tune in and join me on Talk Cosmos, Sunday, June 2nd at 1 p.m. Pacific with Archetypal Symbols panel on the Gemini New Moon Cosmic Energy theme, Mental Metamorphosis, calling to transmute emotional attachments and fly the mental maps our hearts cherish to journey on Hearts Project's new directions. So come journey with us on Talk Cosmos Sunday, June 2nd, 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Conversation you won't find on the rest of the dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are about midway through the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and all kinds of stuff going on at Ananda these days. But I just want to remind you of the Ananda Community Open House and Summer Solstice Celebration. You are all invited. I'll be there manning the welcome booth. Saturday, June 22nd, starts at 2 p.m. Tours, activities, programs, and bring the kids. Lots of stuff for the kids. And Solstice Celebration at 4. And free vegetarian dinner at 5, so you're all invited. And Dr. Nils Rasmussen is available to talk with you, help you and your animal friends with neuroenergetic balancing. He always does a free telephone evaluation, so check him out, healingministryforanimals.com. Click on the contact link, tell him you want to talk. And if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. We'd love to have you. If you're interested, shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty. We are in the middle of a conversation with Beth and Merritt Clifton and Henry the Rooster. What kind of a rooster is he again?
Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock Rooster. And man, is he handsome. And learning the ropes of being an indoor-outdoor chicken, rooster these days. At any rate, you guys have been, I know you've been doing this for a very, very long time, but for anybody that hasn't heard you before, what is animals24-7.org?
We report the news about animals from all over the world at the interface mostly of public health and safety. So.
How long you been doing this?
I've been writing about these subjects for more than 50 years, and Beth has been with me for just about exactly 10. She's a former police officer, a vet tech, and
animal
control officer, so she brings that experience to bear. Yeah, we both.
You guys are amazing. And I know one of the subjects we're going to talk about today, he just casually off his tongue, oh, yeah, I've been researching that for 45 years. It's like, you know, he's our like encyclopedia of everything that goes on with animals everywhere. Merritt and Beth? No, and Beth, you do all the wonderful collages and artwork and stuff. It's really great. I'm glad we got to clarify what going on with the goat business. I do want to talk about, I'm amazed because you, one way to get involved with animals24-7.org is it is a website. Do go to that website and sign up to get the newsletters, and then you'll get all the information that I get. And I'm blown away at all the different things that you know about and the amount of information that you are able to put together related to certain things. Now, and you regular listeners out there that have been with me here, because it's going on, I don't know, 29 years or so that I've been doing this. And over the years, one of my favorite guests was an herbalist years and years ago that I was honored to have in the studio who wrote wonderful books on herbs. But she was very fond of honeybees, you know, and of bees and that. And one of her, Juliet DeBarclay, DeBarclay Levy. Anyway, she was really into bees and supporting them. And before she passed on, I had her in the studio with me. Now, this was back in the Como days. But it was really such an honor to meet her and interview her. But she asked me to promise her that I always would do what I could to help the bees. And so I've always paid attention to that. So over the years, I used to have, you know, a local bee person on the air. And then we had a local wasp hornet guy. His name was Dick Cheney. And he would, if you had wasps, hornets type stuff, you would call him and he would come and collect them. But he collected them for venom for their, you know, he would vacuum them all up. But then they would extract the venom for vaccines, you know, anyway. So the hornets or the wasps could actually serve a higher purpose. We have a chance. I have a phenomenal story that about my experience with the hornets and Dick Cheney and collecting them and so forth. But I was amazed, Amira, when you put out came a newsletter from you all about bees and wasps and hornets and what we need to know, because apparently you have quite a history with them. And so you know how to remove them safely and all of that, correct? Well,
I'm not an entomologist and I'm not a beekeeper, but I did spend 12 years as the assistant to a Quebec game warden who was a beekeeper, and we got nuisance calls that bees, wasps, hornets who needed to be moved because they were in somebody's barn or their doorway or whatever. And I handled a lot of those calls. And Walter Hawthorne, the warden, taught me a few basic things, one of which is always stay calm around bees, wasps, and hornets because they will react to your pheromones. And if you get excited or nervous or worried, they get excited or nervous or worried.
Yeah. And that's a big point because I've never heard anybody else really talk about that. And so bees, wasps, hornets, they can sense or feel the pheromones that human energy would put off, you know, and of course you think about having to deal with a hive of some kind. Being calm is not what comes to mind. So it's something we probably humans do exactly the opposite. With our own energy, it doesn't help keeping the bees calm or the wasps or hornets.
The other thing you do is if you have to move them, you be really gentle about it. I believe a lot of people don't believe in smoking because they believe it harms the bees. But I believe that gently smoking the bees and put the smoke right near the mouth of their hive, that calms them down. The idea is to calm them down, not to gas them, not to kill them. Just calm them down. They will not fly out if there's a grass fire or a forest fire or something in their area. So you just burn a little bit of grass. Some people use cigarette smoke, but I always use a little dried grass. And they sense there's a fire out there, so they keep calm inside their hive. And you can then move the hive or the super if you're a beekeeper. But you can remove the hive from the tree or the doorway or wherever it is. And you do it quickly, but you do it gently. You avoid hard jolts. You don't cut the thing loose so it comes down with a thump or something like that. If you're going to cut it down from somewhere, you support it with a cardboard box so it's inside the box and it doesn't fall. These are just really simple things. But the very first thing you need to do is look for why the bees are there. And people don't realize that they are attracting the bees into the inconvenient places with one case I dealt with, a pile of fruit collected from a rotten fruit collected from a supermarket to be fed to pigs. Well, of course, that's going to attract a lot of bees. It's a source of sugar. So you just move the pile and the bees move. But other cases, it's things like a floral scented a gadget in the bathroom. It's supposed to make the bathroom smell better. Well, the bees don't know that. It's a gadget. They think there's a flower there somewhere.
Ah.
Get it.
Now, are wasps and hornets, though, aren't pollen collectors?
They're a different.
So you're talking more honeybees would be attracted to the flower scents.
Honeybees, its hives are most often problematic. The wasps and the hornets can be, and you can move them exactly the same way, but their attractants are different.
And usually in this area, what I found out with the gal that I used to have on most of the time, that like I personally handle, you know, bees differently than wasps or hornets, because, you know, the bees, the honeybees, are really important for our pollinators and all of that. But the beekeeper that I used to have all the time, she was always, well, call a local beekeeper and we'll come and get the bees. And there's a wonderful gal on Facebook, I think it's Erica Thompson or something, but she's a beekeeper. She goes around and collects bees, and it's just incredible to watch her videos of how she will use a little bit of smoke sometimes, but just, you know, a little bit, but she doesn't even suit up. And she, you know, and she can be picking up handfuls of bees, like if it's a swarm or something, and when she's moving the hive, once she collects the queen and put but she's handling tons of bees and she never gets stung. But of course,
play the guy I learned from with Walter Hawthorne, he'd been keeping bees for 50 years and he didn't suit up. He said the only reason to suit up is if some other damn fool is going to show up and do something that's going to upset them, like start a tractor or a lawnmower that makes a buzz that sounds like they think it's a rival swarm of bees coming for them.
Right. So our normal honeybees are usually pretty congenial. It's the Africanized ones that can be more of an issue.
Well, and I wanted to mention that because I've seen online video that can get somebody killed where they're not smoking the bees and they think that's good, but they're banging the hive down from a high place into a box. And if those were Africanized bees, those guys would be stung from hell to breakfast.
Oh, wow.
But you don't want to do anything that's violent around a bee. You just be calm and gentle.
So the biggest thing, and that applies to hornets and wasps too, be calm.
It is the same thing. Now, hornets can be, if they've made an underground nest, that can be very hard to deal with.
Yes.
You do have to encourage them to move, but at the same time, you don't want to do anything that gets them terribly excited. And that's a difficult situation because sometimes you have to dig up the whole nest and move it. And you do have to use protective gear with wasps and hornets because a bee will sting you once and disembowels itself and it's dead. But a hornet or a wasp can sting you repeatedly. And from having been stung more than 100 times on one occasion by hornets, when I inadvertently parked my lawnmower over top of the hornet's nest while I refueled.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was totally by accident, and I knew it was my mistake, but I got stung a lot. Unfortunately, I don't react badly to this thing.
You're not allergic, fortunately.
No, I'm not allergic to them, but it was still very uncomfortable, and I don't recommend ever doing that again.
I bet. So I've been hoping that at some point, you know, someone like Dick would start up again in our area that would, you know, come collect, you know, the hornets, you know, to make anti-sting vaccines and so forth. But I've not heard of anyone taking over that, but he did a wonderful service for many, many years. I think most people, unfortunately, you know, I mean, with wasps and hornet's nests and that sort of thing, they think the only option is, you know, you get the hornet spray and kill them. I definitely don't recommend that with the honeybees. You know, find a keeper, you know, call a keeper so they can come and get them because they're easily transported, you know, and
if there's something there that's attracting them, you can kill one hive and another one will come back.
That's so true.
You really have to determine what's the attractant and move the attractant. Sometimes in the case of wasps, you may have to relocate a bush that's a particular bush that's attracting them.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, they're just going to keep coming back.
Yeah, I know. I found I get several different kinds of, you know, wasps and hornet types. And there's the kind of the bald faced hornets that build the big paper wasp paper hives that get so huge.
Yeah.
But then there's other ones that build really small paper ones and just put one. And I'm not sure who's who.
We have a lot more varieties of those things here than I was used to. We had basically there was hornets, there was wasps, there was bees. And there weren't varieties of bumblebees, too. But I've never had to move bumblebees. There's never been a problem.
Well,
actually,
I did.
Beth goes outside and pets bumblebees.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They're very nice bees. And they have a bad sting if they sting you. But they're very friendly bees. And they don't want to hurt you. And sometimes, well, we had my dad's when I lived with him after my mom died, had a sumac tree in the backyard. When that was in bloom, they would just cover it all day. And then they'd get so full of stuff, they couldn't fly home. And so they'd all just be hanging around all over the backyard, you know, and sleeping off their, you know, and so they had bumblebees everywhere. But anyway, one day I used to take my Annie Golden Retriever over to a field in Laurelhurst to throw the ball every day. And one day she'd gone down to retrieve the ball, and then it just was laying down the ground, and she was snapping the air. And she was one of those dogs that knew how to deal with bees, you know, and in fact, they yeah. teeth them. And when bees, that's how they... They get them in their mouth and they pull their lips back and they teeth them. And that's how they kill them without getting stung. And it's instinctive, I think, because they either know it or they don't. But she knew it. And that's what, and I, well, anyway, there had been a bumblebee hive in the tree that was above her and had fallen down and was in the grass. So I ran home and called my bee people, find out what to do. And so they told me how to move it, to go put a bucket over it. Anyway, so I talked to the bees and I moved it home to my yard, to my house. And so I had a bumblebee hive. So I moved one bumblebee hive from the ground to my own yard and so forth. But anyway, so I hope, you know, the bumbles are really important. The honeybees are super, super important. They need to be, the honeybees for sure to a beekeeper. The wasps and hornets, though, you can move. And you really ought to have this article that Merritt wrote, that, because a lot of good information in that as to what not to do. You know, and how to do it if you are going to move them. We need to take care of advertisers here real quick. I'd love to tell you my hornet story because it's really, really good, but I don't know that we'll have time because we want to talk. There's more stuff we need to talk about. So anyway, stay right where you are. Let's take care of advertisers, and we'll back more with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. So Henry, stay tuned. Animal World continues right here at Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Check out our NuproSupplements.com, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and horses. You can find all about them online. If you can't find them at your pet store, they're available on Amazon. Check out whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. Jude is our premier sound healer in this area, does acutonics. She does acupuncture as well, but acutonics with the forks, the tuning forks, boy, is really powerful, and I like it way better than acupuncture. And gentle chiropractic, she can work with you in person at the Whispering Dragon Center or remotely, so check her out, whispering-dragon.com. Give her a call, 206-706-2836. And I think that'll do it. We are talking with Beth and Merritt Clifton from animals24-7.org. And Henry the Rooster is with us as well. Merritt, remember I told you earlier, he said, oh, boy, I've been researching this for 45 years. Well, that's this next subject. I had a little shock in bringing this to my attention because this is one of your latest newsletters that came out, and the title was "Developing World Hunger Can Save Atlantic Canadian Seal Hunt?" with a question mark. And I'm reading that, and I'm going, "What do you mean, save the Atlantic Canada seal hunt? I thought we ended that a long time ago." You remember decades ago? Remember how upset we all got and all those videos of all these fishermen clubbing the baby seals to death and there's blood everywhere and it's horrible and we all flipped our cookies and got all upset and all of this and celebrities were up there and all of that. Well, I thought we ended that because then, you know, Europe said, all right, no more seal products to import, and the United States, no, we're not going to import anything. I thought we dealt with that.
Well,
apparently we did not. Merritt, will you please enlighten us?
The first thing to understand is that in Canadian politics, Newfoundland is perennially the swing province, with the other provinces being solidly aligned with other political parties. So only one prime minister in the entire history of Canada has ever been elected without carrying Newfoundland. That was Brian Mulroney, who suspended the seal hunt for 10 years during his tenure as prime minister. Every other prime minister, because they need Newfoundland, has basically supported the seal hunt.
Because it's very important to Newfoundland.
Right.
Okay.
Newfoundland is basically a rock out in the water with not much else for industry except fishing, historically fishing and sealing and whaling. Well, whaling's over with. They fished out the waters surrounding Newfoundland years ago, so they don't really have any of that, but they do still have a subsidized seal hunt where they're still killing around 30,000 seals a year. That's way down from 500,000 or more at peak. But they still cling to this vision of somehow reviving the seal hunt and thereby revitalizing the economy of Newfoundland, even though it's been heavily subsidized throughout this century and the latter part of the last century. It doesn't really make money, and it hasn't really made money since the 70s.
When you say subsidized, you're speaking of the government, actually.
Yeah, the government is actually supporting them in lots and lots of different ways. Right. Now, the latest scheme that they've come up with, because even China didn't want to buy the seal pelts when they tried really hard to sell them to China, the latest idea is they're going to package up the seal meat and sell it, not give it away, mind you, sell it to starving nations in North Africa and elsewhere as a protein source. If you think about this, the whole idea is absurd. You're going to try to sell seal meat to people in landlocked nations who have never seen it before. They don't know what it is. They don't eat a whole hell of a lot of meat in the first place. And then you have to get it there. You have to somehow preserve it and get it there. It's just nuts. But they're eating it up the idea in Newfoundland.
But to them, they might be able to make money off of the seals now so they can continue or revive the seal hunting. Now, so, you know, all those videos of seeing those baby seals clubbed to death every year and all of that, does that kind of stuff still go on?
Years and years ago, they prohibited killing the white coats. They can only kill them now when they reach the beater stage, which is when they lose the white coat and they begin to turn the color of an adult seal. They have spots and then they develop more of a solid color. But they're only a couple of weeks older than the white coats. They're still baby seals. And it's the babies that are still killed primarily because they're the ones you can catch. The others get away and dive into the water. Now, these days they kill more with a rifle than they do with clubbing, but it's still brutal and bloody. And I should mention that for every one they shoot, there's one that's wounded and gets away.
Oh, geez.
And with global warming, there's less and less ice for them to whelp on. So there's actually fewer and fewer seals. And Newfoundland keeps insisting that there's more and more seals, but the other science doesn't really support that.
I don't think Henry's in favor of killing seals either because he got upset during this conversation. So I don't think he likes hearing about the seals being killed. I don't either. So now I know you keep us informed because you know about this and posted about it, but I just realized that this was something we need to be paying attention to? Is there anything that any of us can do?
Well, I think Canada is sensitive to world opinion, to people looking at it, and people calling them out when they say ridiculous things about it. Canada has tried really hard every way they could think of. They tried hiring a lot of Inuit from the far north to tour the world, speaking in favor of the seal hunt. What people don't realize is that first of all, the Inuit do not participate in the commercial seal hunt. They're not in the right region. And second of all, there is an exemption for native harvested seal products in the European Union ban. So they're not affected by that at all. It's a false front, basically. It's hiding behind the Native American image. But the Atlantic Canada seal hunt out of Newfoundland has nothing whatever to do with Native Americans. It never did.
So that's a big misnomer. Well, and it's not like and when you're talking about feeding starving people in Africa or someplace, it's not like they have an abundance of seal meat and so forth. And it's so, we'll donate and this way we'll be able to feed starving people. This is a way that they could to support them because they would be selling it and would support them, giving them the money to go out and kill more seals. But it's more for Newfoundland and them being able to continue a tradition that is not really approved of by most of the world in order to make money for them. So it just doesn't make any sense. You're right.
We have a few more minutes, and one good news thing just came up. I might want to talk about.
Absolutely.
Colombia has banned bullfighting.
Colombia, the country?
Colombia, the country, has banned bullfighting.
Wow.
President that is willing to stand up and stand up for the bulls and say, this is barbaric and we're not going to have it anymore.
Woohoo! Yay! That is really good news. Now, to Colombia, though, being in South America, are there other countries in South America that do bullfighting? Because most of the time we only hear about it in Spain.
There's still bullfighting in Peru.
Okay.
Brazil has banned it. Uruguay has banned it. Nicaragua has banned it. El Salvador never had it. Mexico City banned it, but then the ban was overturned. So bullfighting actually resumed in Mexico City in January. That one's still up in the air. Parts of Spain, the Catalan in Spain, banned bullfighting back in 2010, but the Supreme Constitutional Court of Spain reinstated it. Mallorca then tried to ban it. Same thing, the Constitutional Court of Spain reinstated it. So they still have it, though it doesn't make money.
So really bucking the powers that be with this and kind of like stuff that just locally we vote stuff down and then legislature figures a way to vote it in anyway. And that's one of these things that it's so steeped in tradition, I think, and so forth.
The Pope actually banned bullfighting in every Catholic nation back in 1567. And we are still fighting that battle.
1567?
1567. That's how long the Catholic Church has officially disapproved of bullfighting.
And you see what I mean, folks? What a wealth of information merit is. I mean, you give them a subject, and my gosh, who knows all this stuff? You guys just know everything. But so we've been so this has been an issue trying to get people to stop doing this with bulls since the 1500s. Wow.
The Pope actually said that anybody who participates in bullfighting will not be given a Christian burial.
Wow. And that didn't work even. No. Holy moly. Wow. Well, but the good news is Colombia has banned bullfighting. So one more country. That's our good news. We'll good with that. So we're out of time, and Nathan won't let us stay longer than noon. He'll just kick us out no matter what. So we have to wrap up. Anyway, if you guys appreciate, like I do, the work that Merritt and Beth have done, and for all these decades and all of the knowledge here, we got to keep them going so that we know the truth about what's going on with animals. So it's animals24-7.org, animals24-7.org. Go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, and please make a donation. And thank you, too, for all of your wonderful information. Thank you, Henry. Be kind and gentle with your mom.
It's our pleasure.
We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank
God
you.
God bless.
Congratulations,
bye-bye.
Nathan.
Thank you very much.
All righty. So that's pretty much all we got time for today. Next week, second Sunday of the month, it's Healing Sunday here on Animal World. So that means Dr. Nils Rasmussen, Linda Rasmussen will take your phone calls, and you get free remote treatments for you or your animal friends. So I hope you can join us next week. And then let's remember, calm around bees, wasps, hornets, okay? Pay attention to what's going on with the animals, and when you can't do it, animals24-7.org. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Nathan. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, share your love with all living things, and I'll talk to you again next week.